Hey there, Patty Dominguez here with episode 172 of the Positioning to Profit podcast. Thank you for being here, and I'm very excited to bring to you today two guests, actually a mother-daughter dynamic duo, Anne Dranitsaris and Heather Dranitsaris Hilliard. They are trainers, speakers, authors, experts in human development and behavioral change, leadership, interpersonal dynamics, and the achievement of potential. And what we talk about today is very interesting. It's this whole concept of dismantling dysfunction and really recognizing how, being that we work with different types of people, how do we manage different types of people? How do we manage fear? As much as we hear all the time, you just have to fight the fear. You have to take action in spite of fear. You'll discover a super fresh perspective that Anne and Heather share on what you can do. Now, they are truly professionals in this space. They've spoken at professional conferences, written several series of books on personality types and brain-based content that is really focused on how do you dismantle dysfunction and how do you leverage neuroscience, personality, and systems thinking to achieve potential. So it's a really great conversation. I'm really excited to bring it to you today. At the same time, you're going to be hearing a really unique perspective on how they work together, how they have been working together for the past 25 years very successfully. And I just admire this wonderful dynamic duo, like I mentioned. It's a good show. All right. With that, let's get on with the show. Here we go.
Hey there, I'm Patty Dominguez. You're about to discover what it means to position your brand and your business to stand out. This show explores the stories of small business owners just like you who are bringing their message out to the world and impacting their tribe. So if you want to take your business to a category of one status, then hang with me, because this podcast shares everything you need to know about how to be more prolific with your brand so that you can have more profits.
Heather Hilliard and Anne Dranitsaris, welcome to the Positioning to Profit podcast. I am so happy to have you here for you to share with us, because I feel like there's so much dynamic storytelling, information sharing, expert sharing that we are going to condense in this half hour episode. So for those of you listening, you're in for a treat. But first and foremost, welcome to both of you.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Thanks, Patty, and we're particularly excited to have the opportunity to reach your network, which is the female audience, the solopreneurs, of which I count myself one of those, having had a psychotherapy practice for most of my life, in addition to everything else. So great to be able to talk to your audience about this.
Oh, thank you so much. And I love, first and foremost, just to tee it up, because this is a very special pair here. You're a mother and daughter team. And I was listening to another one of your episodes because I was stalking you mildly. And I was listening that you've come together. You've been working together for over 25 years. And the same time, you came together in a really unique circumstance, because you hadn't known each other. Even though you're a mother and daughter team, you came together later into adulthood. Can you just give people a little snippet of, I just think it's so amazing how you each had the similarity and congruency and the harmonization without really knowing each other. So that's such an amazing story, if you don't mind starting there.
For sure. It's funny, sometimes we're different sides of the same coin, the way we work together. Anne had me when she was young, just a week shy of her 17th birthday. And I was put up for adoption. So I grew up with an adoptive family. And then as I was heading later, I think I was around 27, we ended up connecting through the adoption agency that had placed me. And it's one of those, fast forward to today. Yes, we've been in business for 25 years. We kicked off our business together, I think 3 years into our relationship, pretty much. So most of our relationship time has been not only in this mother-daughter dynamic, but also as friends and as business partners as we've moved along, and bringing our sort of different expertise and complementary expertise and our shared passion for helping people to achieve their potential as the unifying force around everything we do.
Oh, it's so good, lady. Seriously, when I saw that, I was like, wow, what a great story on so many levels, how you're able to bring all this expertise to the table. And I know that you have several books. So You Think You Can Lead. I love that. Who Are You Meant to Be? And Power Past the Imposter Syndrome. So while you bring extensive knowledge to organizations of big companies, and before we hit the live button, I'm like, oh my God, we could have used you in my corporate life. Now we're going to be talking specifically about solopreneurship, because we, the women that I support, it's either individual or smaller teams. And as you, and I'm sure you are well aware that in this market post-COVID, there's so much conversations around everything's changing. Right. And so the fact that your expertise is around dismantling dysfunction, I believe couldn't come at a more perfect time. And you talk about neurobiology and human biology and all of these amazing things. But as we're segueing from this movement of quiet quitting, where people are entertaining going into entrepreneurship and really thinking that, wait a minute, can I take my expertise and go into entrepreneurship? For me personally, when I quit my job in 2013, I didn't have a business coach necessarily to help me with this transition. And one of the things that I most suffered with, and I see over and over again, is imposter syndrome. So the fact that you've written a couple of books and you have deep knowledge in this space, to me, is so helpful for my community. So you want to take people through, I know you have your book where you talk about the step-by-step process for discovering and fulfilling your true potential. But I think before that is literally identifying and making peace with this imposter syndrome that so many of us experience. What say you?
Let's take this ginormous topic, and if I can make an attempt to distill it down into, you know, something that affects all areas of our work is that we are all on developmental journeys, but we have this notion, this wild notion, oh, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, so therefore I should be good at it. I have a leadership role now. Oh, I should be good at it. So we don't get any training. We don't get any development. We don't sort it into, I'm aware that I excel in these areas. I still need to develop. So we actually don't get the help we need. And in particular for entrepreneurs, this is one that they get stuck on, because they go in their infancy with all of this excitement and they've got their product and they want to get going, and they make some traction, but then they don't realize that they have to separate out from their business and start taking care of the needs of their business, as opposed to just looking at doing the things that we like to do and that we enjoy doing. I'll just give you an example before I turn it over to Heather to say this is, we had a program about a decade ago, I think it was now, Heather, where we were teaching psychotherapists how to build a business, because they excelled at the therapeutic aspect of it, but some of them didn't even have a bank account, and that they had a great deal of difficulty moving into, my business is a separate entity and it has different needs and I have to nurture that along. And you can put this formula, developmental formula, pretty much against everything that we do as human beings. And it's at the foundation of the imposter syndrome, where you're a leader and you don't feel like you're good enough. People don't say, what skills do I need to develop? They try and hide out and pretend that no one's going to find out that they're not good enough. And so it defies reason in a way that we do this. However, so many of us do, especially the ladies out there.
Excellent. And if I can just,
Heather, please.
If I could just add to that. So as Anne was saying, when we think about the imposter syndrome, it's that pervasive thought in your head that I'm not good enough. And it translates in a whole bunch of ways. I don't have enough experience. I don't have the right credentials. I haven't been at this long enough. And these are all the fears that get triggered. And we always find it really fascinating for those, especially those that are solopreneurs or entrepreneurs, is we have this thing that goes on in our brain that's quite interesting, which is, on the one hand, we envision it, right? We can see it and we want to be out there and we want to have this impact. And we know that there's this gift that we need to bring to the world. And then the brain that, you know, lives closely with that imposter syndrome, what triggers that, saying, no, know your place, stay small. Who do you think you are? And that constant sort of back and forth where we take a step forward into our business and into the risk that's involved on going out on our own or whatever it might be. And then our brain says, whoa, go back to your comfort zone. And so when we bring the imposter syndrome into the world of those of us that are entrepreneurs, and as Anne said, we're in the same boat. And we've built our business up as female entrepreneurs over the years. And even today, after all of these years of doing it, it still gets triggered when we start to think about, let's launch a new program, let's extend our offering out into here. And then the brain goes, oh, but wait, there are all these other people doing it. And so this is where we learn to navigate it. And as Anne says, is that it's a developmental piece, right? And so we focus on taking developmental action that helps us with this particular challenge.
Heather, you said something really significant there for me, because I, as somebody that coaches female entrepreneurs in the and really putting their programs, their ideas, their concepts out there, the one thing is, oh, it's really saturated, or I don't have enough skills, or they'll go into what I called courseritis, where they take one course after another, not recognizing that this is actually a self-sabotaging behavior to keep them presumably safe. So as much as it shows up it for people in different ways, and the fact that you're saying that there's a brain building framework for changing this.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, can you please share with the listeners, like, okay, what can I do about this? I'm recognizing this because I get it. I don't feel like I'm good enough. So I think the first part of it is acknowledging it, or you let me know if that's off. But I would love to have just some practical tips for the people that are listening to this, that we all go through it, and for them to recognize at the same time that it's normal. So the idea here is that there's been a habit. We're like in this habit loop. So what can we do about it for those of us that suffer with this imposter syndrome at any stage in the entrepreneurial journey?
So it's really a great question. And what you said about the self-sabotaging in our book, Power Past the Imposter Syndrome, we talk about the four imposter syndrome personas, and one of them is the saboteur. And all you have to do is think, I'm going to do this differently. And the saboteur kicks in like that and starts casting doubt. And what we have to realize in the first step in all of this is that awareness of what's going on between our ears. It's like, just because we tell ourselves something doesn't mean it's true. We don't have to listen to it. We don't have to pay attention. And when we can sort it into things like, oh, that's my saboteur talking to me because it creates a little anxiety to step out of my comfort zone, we can say, thanks, not listening to you. But we have to realize that we're turning on this judgment about ourselves, and we're assessing ourselves against nothing. There's no objective criteria. We're just that blanket, I'm not good enough. And we take it as cash, and we believe the lies that we tell ourselves. So in this first step of getting to know our brain and getting to know our imposter syndrome story, we can start to then identify what is real and what's made up to shut us down, so that we, as Heather said, that we can go back to our comfort zone and kick back there and not have to do anything that's scary.
One of the exercises that we always take our clients through around this that I really love is that sort of the connecting up some of those message tracks in our brains that keep us in the imposter syndrome with things that we were told or words that were used with us in our childhood, that we behaved a particular way in response to that because it allowed us to survive through our childhood. But now that we're adults, we keep bringing that same strategy into the present, even though we don't really need to use it. So things like, one of my ones my clients always use is, who do you think you are? And so if in the course of me saying, I'm going to go out into the marketplace with this expertise and I'm going to take it out there, and that just keeps getting triggered, who do I think I am? And then I come up with all of these things to keep me from doing it. Well, I don't have enough expertise. Let me go take another course. Or I look at everybody else's stuff as opposed to looking within and say, what's my authentic lens and what's my authentic voice? And there's more than enough space in this world for all of us. And so that's a really good, in addition to Anne's, what she was saying about helping our clients to really think about their thoughts objectively. Is that fact? Is that just the story I'm telling myself? Where's my criteria I'm using? We do really understand that language that triggers us into the imposter syndrome. So when it comes up, we can go, oh, there's that one. I know that one. And then I can move on. It's not, again, it's, we don't talk about the imposter syndrome as something you get cured from. What it is that you recognize it. And then when it gets triggered, you respond to it differently. You're not reacting. You're not going into that automatic emotional reaction that our brain's gotten used to being in. We're actually saying, oh, I get this. And now I'm going to make a different choice. And here's the choice that I'm going to make around it.
Okay. This is really, it acknowledges what I've always wondered, because it's really interesting how the saying goes, new level, new devil, where you may meet a specific stone of sorts in your entrepreneurship career. Let's say you want to make $50,000 a month or $100,000 a month. All of a sudden you hit those numbers and then you're like, oh, that feels awkward. I'm excited. But then you're like, oh, it's scary. So then what happens is people retreat back to their what was normal.
Yeah.
And you hit that upper limit and then you retreat back. And that's something that I personally experienced, and I didn't understand. I'm like, why is this happening? And then there was this uncomfortability with being at that new level. And I didn't recognize that it was the whole imposter syndrome thing. And the good news is that while I hear you say imposter syndrome is something that we're always going to have to deal with, to me, it's a matter of recognizing when it shows up to say, oh, that's showing up right now. So it's the awareness that is so key. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I love that you said that, because it's not going to go away, y'all. It's not. So please say.
And whether it's the imposter syndrome or some other self-protective behavior, there are different zones in human development. And of course, there's a comfort zone, which we love to hang out in. But the minute we step out of it, the next zone is the fear zone, because self-activation leads to fear. All of a sudden, we're not psychologically safe and secure anymore. And we have a choice to bear the feeling or go to the next zone, which is the zone of learning and experiencing and practicing. But if we can convince ourselves when we're in the self-protective fear zone, if we can convince ourselves that it actually is too scary, then we'll go back and we'll be psychologically safe. Because human beings have these defensive strategies to keep us safe. And if we don't know what they are, they actually keep us really small. Because we, as I said earlier, we believe the lies that we tell ourselves. And then we go and talk to our friends and they validate, oh yeah, that's so anxiety producing. I don't know if you really want to know. It's not the kind of support.
Yeah. You're like, that's really not helping.
That's not helpful. Give me a push, would you?
Exactly.
I really want to do this.
I think the thing that's really important of what you said is that, first of all, if you're going to friends that are not doing what you're doing, I always say, I'm like, oh, are they entrepreneurs? Are they growing their own business? Most people are not. But I think the one thing that you said that's really, really cool that I haven't heard before is that self-activation leads to fear. The self-activation is where the coaches in the room will be like, you just have to take action. The whole saying of you can't move a parked car. And some people can't ever get moving. But then you're saying the continuation of that is the realization that there's going to be fear.
Yes.
So Heather, what do you say about this whole thing? Because I'm like, wow, that totally makes sense. Self-activation leads to fear. Catching yourself in that moment, what other tips can people really grab onto that will help them through this? Almost like it's going to happen.
Yep. Oh yeah. And when we accept it and expect it, then again, we move into that. Okay. How do I navigate it? One of the exercises that we have our clients do is write down on the left-hand side of a page, all of the fears, every single fear that you've got going on that now that you're moving out of your comfort zone, because again, the brain has a bias for negativity and fear because again, it's the way it's wired. And so you write them down on a piece of paper, because the act of putting them out of your head and on paper, you're starting to look at them through a slightly different lens, right? But then the next step is what's most important is, okay, if this is my fear, what do I need? What will help? How do I get through it? And in some cases, it's a fear of, I get it. This fear is getting triggered because this is brand new for me. Like with my personality type, I have a high need to be knowledgeable about things before I move forward with them. So when we start talking about things that we're going to do in our business where I don't feel like I'm the expert, it's like my resistance goes way up. My fear gets triggered, right? Because it's, oh, wait, how am I going to do this? I'm not the expert. Whereas in all these other things that we do, I'm an expert. So that works for me. But I know that about myself. So then my strategy is, okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to spend time on? What information do I need so I can move through that fear so it doesn't get in the way of us moving forward? So for each fear, it's what's the action? And sometimes what we try and do instead is just, I'm just going to power through this fear. And it doesn't work. It doesn't, because ultimately, unconsciously, things are going to come up. And Anna and I have this conversation all the time where every time we try and do something new in the business, we get so busy with our organizational work, it stops us. It's like there's something that sort of opens up where it's like all of a sudden we're in demand and we're like, so it backtracks us. It pushes us away from that path that we're trying to move to. And it's part of the imposter syndrome because we struggle with another one of the personas called the prostitute, which is, but I have to have money coming in. I don't necessarily hold my value or my boundaries or my, and of course we can help you. And of course we can help you, but it's at the sacrifice of our own ambition, vision, what we're trying to create. So it's, oh, bright, shiny object over here that's going to produce immediate money versus staying the course and protecting that time that's needed to really stick with the plan and build up the momentum in these other areas. And so that's the thing is where, as Anne was saying earlier, when we know what our imposter syndrome reaction is going to be, what's going to get triggered, the strategies that we're going to default into using, it can go, oh man, there it is. And now that we're doing this, what are we going to do differently? How are we going to make sure we don't end up back in this pattern that the imposter syndrome keeps triggering for us?
I love it. It goes back to having the awareness, having the right tools in the toolbox to know how to manage them as you are confronted with those things, because they're going to happen. It's inevitable. So can you share a story about a client that you've worked with that was a hot mess? You don't need to name names, but someone who was like really needed you and you helped them and now they're on the other side of it and are really thriving. Because I always believe like those kind of inspirational stories help us, because everyone thinks that they're like, oh, but I'm a hot mess. And maybe they're really not. They're just thinking of themselves that way. But I'd love to hear a story.
And I'd like to say that it's so interesting that as we're judging ourselves to be all of these negative things, we may have no idea who we actually are because we're so busy putting these labels on us. The first person that popped into my mind was a woman who is struggling with an addiction. And she was sent to me more for an intervention than anything else. And this woman was in so much denial of her behavior. She had an image of herself as being the ideal employee. And she thought everyone should love her behavior and progress her through the ranks of the organization a whole lot faster than the organization was willing to do. And the more they held her back to develop her, the more she started using until she was actually using on the job. And so they called me in and we started working on just putting language to the fact that she was addicted. And she was working so much out of her image and so not touching the part of herself that was an imposter and felt like an imposter and was terrified of her bosses finding out that she had this grand persona that she expected everybody to see. And we worked for a good 6 months together before she got really solid. She went to NA for a while. Really solidified her there. But the painful part of it was getting her to own what she was doing to destroy herself for the sake of her image, not for the sake of her authentic self, that really wasn't taking in the development that was there for her, because she kept saying, I don't need any help. I don't need any development.
Heather, how about you? Go ahead.
So in that way, we can see how even with people who can appear narcissistic, they're always running the imposter syndrome in the background.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm going to come after a story of a client of mine who a little bit of the opposite, where incredibly bright, incredibly capable, has done amazing things over the course of her career and kept running into these places in organizational life where she really didn't fit. And so she'd go after it and she'd go after it. And in the work that we did, it was because she refused to believe her uniqueness and in the value that she creates and in how different she is from the people in the organizations that she tends to go into roles with. So she, again, every experience was reinforcing this idea that she's not good enough because she couldn't quite make it work. And she always ended up having to exit. And so what we did was we talked instead, really helping her understand more about her personality and really coming to accept her potential, how her brain was organized, where define out a different plan. So building a plan that was really around her potential and her capability that she could feel really comfortable pursuing. And the interesting thing, and this is with this client, most of our clients, when we go into this, is it's scary in that moment of saying, I'm better than others, that somehow these gifts that I've brought, been born into this world with, that how do I own those and how do I acknowledge them? And because again, we hear things like, there's probably people who are better at this than me. And so we help them to really articulate that and come to accept and be able to define themselves around those gifts. And then look at those, how do they build their business around those gifts? How do they build, if they want to stay in corporate life, how do they build their roles around those gifts? And I think that's, I really enjoy that aspect of the work that we do individually with our female clients, because we bring a really objective lens to the conversation. We've worked with hundreds and hundreds of people. So it's a little bit easier for us to say, yeah, that's not everybody, that's you. And then help them move into that place where I think a lot of female entrepreneurs get stuck is in really drawing lines in the sand and putting a plan to it. Here's what I need to do. Here's what I need to be working on. Because again, they can get so caught up in the idea and then that pullback and away from the idea that they don't do that really important next step, which is, what is my plan? How am I going to get to it? And what do I start to work on? And we do that planning in a way that created so that we try and keep them as much as possible out of the fear. So the plan is, you know, how we can sometimes do that as entrepreneurs, right? It's like, I'm going to do all of these things and I'm going to get them done the next month. And then we do nothing. Yeah. Because our brain goes, ah, and I can't do all of this. So we look at Dan and help them look at sequencing, look at the discretionary effort of what can you really handle in a given month or a given week so that they start to build momentum towards it. We have a ton of clients that we've worked with that they've spent years with all of their ideas and thinking about and talking about and wanting to go after them and doing absolutely nothing. And so this helps to move them into those steps and really towards, as we say, who they're meant to be and really achieving that potential that they've been born into this world with.
That's so beautiful and so many levels, because how many times do we put a lid on the things that make us different? We're not owning who we really are. That's my whole vibe is around, no, you want to have that differentiation. That's how you stand out. But to that point, it's navigating through all of these, the unwritten rules, the landmines, as I call them, and all these things that with good guidance from a coach, a counselor, someone to help you through that, it's really getting to that point where you are fully realized, which is what you talk about, the full potential side of things. It's really beautiful. And it happens. And it's a matter of us owning it, recognizing it, and then reaching out for proper help, because you can't do it alone. I always say that. I'm like, you can't do it alone.
Us too. Yeah, we do as well. You can't. We grow in relationship to other people. That's how the human brain develops. And without anyone else, we're left at the mercy of our own thoughts and perceptions.
It's so true.
Just to add to that, interestingly, those of us that struggle with the imposter syndrome don't ask for help. We don't seek help out, because then we're going to be exposing ourselves and people are going to see what my brain is telling me is real, even though it's not. And so this is where we say to you, if you are struggling with the imposter syndrome, absolutely, it's finding the help that's going to help you to navigate through it, because even hiding out from it and trying to hide out, which is what the imposter syndrome really does trigger us to do, really gets in the way of that. Again, your growth, your achieving your potential, that really being able to fulfill what it is that you're capable of doing in this lifetime.
The important question there to ask for the listener is, how much longer are you going to put this off? Because you're going to be way worse next year if you do nothing about this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You have three professional women, really intelligent women, telling you to do something about it, because it's not going to happen alone. So we're in good company here. Thank you,
betcha.
Ladies.
Yeah. So we are transitioning to the fast five questions. Are you ready?
Let's go.
All right. It's not scary. It's actually really fun. I'll start with Heather, and then we'll go to Anne, and we'll go that way with the five. Okay. Heather, what would make this a great year for you?
Oh, that we finally launch our program for females around relationships, moving past codependency and being really powerful in their relationships that Anna and I have been trying to get off the ground for the last, I don't know, feels like forever, but probably isn't. So that would make it a really great year.
Oh, the world needs that. The world needs that. How about you, Anne?
It's a little more mundane, but it would be traveling to a destination that is undecided as yet, be able to be there for 2 months and write.
That sounds luxurious. That's amazing. Yes. All right, Heather, what do you wish you had known when you started out this whole adventure of being an entrepreneur?
I think I would have wanted to know that the skills that you need to be an effective and a successful entrepreneur are things that you can develop. Right. Mm-hmm. I think that I grew up at a time, went to school at a time where entrepreneurship was not a topic
right, the
way it is today. I had no one in my life growing up that was an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. So what is this thing? And so I think that was it. It was just realizing that anything that you need that you feel like you don't have, it's there. It's there. And it's today, in today's environment, it is so available, readily available to people.
It is. How about you, Anne? So what do you wish you had known?
I wish I had known how much I was looking for the approval of others despite being an entrepreneur and looking for validation, to be told that what I was doing was actually okay to do. I would do it anyway, but it always felt so alone because I didn't realize I had such a need for approval.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Person, place, or thing. What is one thing that inspires you, Heather?
Oh, place, nature, being out on the trails, being out in the mountains, walking near the ocean, in my garden, big opportunities to think and process, dream.
How about you, Anne?
A new course that integrates the rational brain and spirituality.
I don't think I'll ever hear that answer ever. You're so deep. You're truly expert here. Okay. Number four, what is your greatest extravagance, Heather?
Whoa. Travel.
Yeah.
I have a really, really high need for travel and opportunities to travel. And that is probably my biggest spend every year.
How about you, Anne?
Ditto.
Yeah. I agree. There's something so yummy and delicious about traveling and experiencing people, food. I missed it so much during COVID. We traveled quite a bit too, so I miss that. All right, last question. After all is said and done, what do you want your legacy to be, Heather?
So for me, it's that because of the work we do, because of the things that we teach and the way we help with people, that we've left behind a new generation of empowered women that are moving the world forward in a way that prior generations haven't.
Beautiful. And
for me, I think to have touched women in a way that allows them to move more freely, not necessarily as feminists against, but being in their power as women, for women, knowing how to raise empowered children, to enhance humanity in that way.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I enjoyed myself so much, ladies. How do people get in touch with you, find out more about your beautiful work?
Pretty much everything can be found, including links to our books and all of our programs and our YouTube channel on our website. So dranitsaris-hilliard.com. So hopefully you'll put the spelling of that in your show notes for us. And it's pretty much a great place to find out more about everything that we're doing and what we're up to these days as well.
dranitsaris-hilliard.com. It'll be in our show notes. Make sure to connect, and we will post you everywhere on social so people can connect with your work, because it's really deep. The expertise is super clear. And so this is the opportunity to pair up with people who know what they're talking about, over two decades of expertise and knowledge. So thank you so much for being on the Positioning to Profit podcast. I so appreciate you both and the work that you're doing.
Thank you for having us, Patty.
Thank you.
Hey there, thanks for checking out the show, Positioning to Profit. It means a world to me that you've stayed here till the end. And if you love the show as much as we love putting it together for you, will you please do me a favor and leave a rating and review over on iTunes? It would really help the show and to get the message out. And when you do, do me a favor, send me a message over on socials, either Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, any of those. Let me know that you left a review. Not only will I give you a shout out, but I'll be in touch with you to send you a little something something as a thank you for what you've done. All right. Also, like I mentioned, I'm on the socials, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Please do make sure to connect. I love connecting with new people, and it just, again, really helps to get the word out. So thank you so much again for checking out the episode. And if you're looking for some goodies, head on over to my website. You can just go to positioningexpert.com and it'll take you right to my website. Lots of good stuff there. All right. See you next time.